James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Trying to get my clicker to work here. Ah, thank you. 8-year-old Nina came home with a report card. Pretty good student, mostly A's, a couple of B's. But on her report card, the teacher had written a little note. Nina's a wonderful student, pleasure to have in class, but she has a little difficulty with talking too much. I have a little device I'm going to try to use on Nina. I think it will work. I think it will help her with that problem. Her dad signed her report card and then added a note of his own on the back. He said, "Let me know how well that works on Nina. I'd like to try it on my wife." In today's study, James takes us back to the topic of our tongue. In chapter 1, he said that we need to put a leash on our tongue. In chapter 3, he said that we have to be careful with our tongue. And now in chapter 4, he's saying, I want you to be careful about how you use your tongue in reference to the reputations of other people. Are you one that builds up, or are you one that tears down? James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Father, indeed, who are we? Would you help us with that question today and help us to get in line with who you are and what we're supposed to be doing here? Get us out of the judgment business and into the loving business, we pray. And we'll thank you for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. As I see it, this whole paragraph of Scripture hangs on the word slander. Slander. Other translations have it speaking evil of, saying, do not speak evil of your brother. By definition, slander is oral defamation in which someone tells one or more persons an untruth about another, which untruth will harm the reputation of the person defamed. Now, to qualify as slander, there has to be some lie, there has to be some untruth involved. To qualify as speaking evil against someone, you don't need a full-blown lie, just a little twist on the truth, some incomplete facts. Some selected facts will do just fine. Do you know anybody besides myself who is faultless? They have no flaws. There's nothing you could think about them that, oh boy, that's not so good. Well, I don't think other than Jesus, nobody exists like that. So whoever we were to put up here today, we could find fault with them, right? We could come up with some things. So Ralph might be a pretty good fella, but he has a tendency to talk a little bit too much. He's always late. Worst speller I've ever seen. And his breath could just drop a fly right out of the sky. Now, if we were to accumulate a person's faults and then communicate that to other people, we might be saying the truth, but we've selected our facts in such a way as to bring Ralph down in other people's estimation. Now, why in the world would we want to do that to poor old Ralph? Why would we do that to anybody where we start putting the negatives together? Well, sometimes we knock others down so we appear a little taller. You know, I'm not so bad when I compare myself to Ralph. Take Ralph for an example. And we feel just maybe a mite taller because we've knocked him down. Or maybe they were saying nice things about Ralph and we just wanted to put it in its place. Sometimes we just plain enjoy knocking other people down. We find it entertaining. Did you see that guy? What a clown. And we get a bit of a laugh out of it. Sometimes we're just plain mean. You ever been mean? How many have a sibling? You were raised with others. You have been mean. I'm just telling you, there have been times when you have been mean. But most of the time, we hurt with our tongue because we've been hurt. Somebody hurt us, and we're angry at them, so what do? We find somebody to say something nasty about the person that just hurt us. And we're getting even with them in our own mind. Now, we're not getting even with them, are we? And actually, what we're doing is we're sinning against God, and we're sinning against others. How many have been angry at and in love with the same person in the same day? In the morning, you could have choked them, and in the evening, you bring them flowers and just candy, and oh, you couldn't be more in love. See, that's how fickle we are. And you got to be so careful with your fickleness, because they'll find out what you said to other people. And then they'll be hurt, and then they'll say, and so on. And as children of God, we are not called to act like that. James says we need to stop it. Because when we speak evil of other people, it amounts to social violence. We are going out and we are assassinating their character to other people. And we are beating them up verbally. Now, you would not go up and just punch them. You feel like it, but you wouldn't do it. But that's exactly what we're doing when we badmouth them to other people. We're pow, pow, pow. And we're doing violence, and maybe worse violence than if we were doing it in a physical way. And a lot of times that's a passive-aggressive thing that comes out of us. They're bigger than us. I'm not going to punch him. It'd kill me. But I'll tear him apart. And I'll tear them apart among our friends, and I'll make sure everybody knows exactly what they did to me. Because of your mouth, that person will have a harder time making friends or gaining trust. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Everybody you love and admire has faults. But if you love them, you admire them, you don't walk around talking about their faults. You'll tell people, oh, what a great person. You know, the other day they helped me. I was in trouble. They were there for me. That is a quality person. Love doesn't keep a record of faults. Love keeps a record of the good things that you admire about them. And the only difference is the temperature of your heart. If your heart is cold, the evil comes out. If your heart is warm, the good things come out. Love covers a multitude of wrongs. So every time you think of somebody's faults, it might take a little doing, but think of their good points and minister those to other people. Now, is there ever a time you need to say something nasty about somebody else? Well, yeah, actually there is. If they're a person of deplorable character, if they're a danger to others, you may need to say to somebody, don't let him around your kids. You may have to say, don't give her any money. I don't care what she says. I don't care. Just don't give her any money. You're not assassinating her character. You're protecting the innocent. You need to be careful because this is what has happened. This is what I know. That's not slander. Slander is an untruth being shared to harm that person. This is information meant to protect the innocent. And if your purpose is to protect the innocent, you're on pretty good ground. But you got to be real careful on that ground anytime you're talking negative. Because sometimes we give ourselves an excuse to speak the negative because we really enjoy speaking negative. And we kind of spiritualize it. We put a coat over it, a covering. Well, you know, they should know this because why? Because why? Because why? Yeah, okay, that's good. Yeah, okay, now I can tell them. And if it's just pandering to our flesh, I hate this about us. But we love to beat other people up verbally. We love the juicy gossip. We love the negative so much, and that's not of God. And then you need to be willing to say whatever you're saying in front of them if necessary. Own up to it and stand behind your words. If we're passing along information with the intent of harming someone else's reputation simply because we don't like that person or because we think we're being entertaining, then we are sinning against that person. God sees it as absolute sin. Whatever sin you hate, you know, we all got our list of sins we like and sins we hate, and sins we think are deplorable, and everybody else's sin is deplorable, and our sins are very understandable. Isn't that the way we are? I have very good excuses for whatever I do, and I've even renamed my sin. I don't get angry, I have righteous indignation. And we, you know, we put all these things under some kind of a covering that we think we're safe with. But nobody hired us to be the social police, deciding who is worthy to be part of society and who ought to be ostracized. And if on top of that you lie or you embellish just to get people's opinions against somebody, be very, very careful. God hates that sin of lording over somebody else. And one thing that I can't stand is when our comics, our Saturday Night Live and different venues like that will tear down somebody's character. They'll often dress and act, and they'll mock them. There's a difference between, what's the word I'm looking for? What's that?
A roast.
A roast, yeah. There's a difference between roasting somebody and killing their character and just acting like them for entertainment's sake. When somebody talks like somebody else and acts like, that's entertaining. Yeah, that's them. That's what they do. But when you do it so that you can destroy them, that's completely different. And we've made this sport in America today. Now, I don't watch Saturday Night Live. I'm in bed long before they're doing their thing. But I see these clips, and the news seems to be very proud of these clips because they'll show them, and then the reporters will follow around the person who's been punked on their show, and they'll want to see their reaction to it. And they have to react with a smile and with good humor because that's, and if they don't, well, they have no sense of humor. It was all done in good fun. How many believe it was done in good fun? Just good, clean fun. You know, we just took them apart and made fun of their character and questioned everything about them and so on. Ha, 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 ha. Isn't that entertaining? And we've made social violence a national pastime. My wife was telling me just this week she saw a clip on the internet. We know it's true because we saw it on the internet. A teacher did have the video on it. A teacher brought a piñata to school for all the kids to bash with clubs and sticks, and the candy came pouring out, and it was a piñata of President Trump. And the wife said, seriously, how can a teacher have their students pummel the President of the United States to pieces? And I don't care whether it was President Obama or President Trump or President Lincoln or whoever. You see what I'm saying? How do we, and it seems like as a whole, our society, we're talking on one side about tolerance and this, that, and the other thing, and on the other side, the violence is really ramping up against others. And we have to be so careful in the church that we're not part of that. We don't go along with that. It's not funny. Now, it might hit us as humorous, you know, Don't pass it along if it's sin. Sin often comes chocolate covered. It often is sweet in the mouth before it gets bitter in the gut. And we have to have some discernment as to what we pass along and what we will be a part of and what we will not. So I'll purposely defame you in public, and then I'll shove a microphone in your face. Just, you better smile or it's going to get worse. And so the comics and the cynics, they run the agenda. Oh, it's all in good fun. Let's look at our text again. What is all this business about the law? Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister judges them, or judges them, speaks against the law and judges it. What? No, I was just telling you about Ralph. I wasn't saying anything about the law of God. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting it. I'm not judging the law. No, Lord God, don't think that I got a problem with you or with your law. It's Ralph. He talks too much. He's got bad breath. He gets right up here in my face, too. It's just, no. Well, you see, there's only one judge. And there's only one standard by which people are judged, and that's the judge's law. And when I put myself in the place where I am judging other people and I am determining by my own set of standards, he talks too much, he doesn't have good breath, you know, these are my standards. I'm setting aside God's standard for my own. And the Lord does not appreciate that. Why is it so dangerous? Well, first of all, our judgments are skewed. Most of the time, we're wrong. We think we know what we're talking about, and that's when we're most dangerous. We do not have all of the facts. You ever get an attitude about somebody, and then you find out, oh, I didn't know. That's right, you don't know. Could we assume that we don't know most things? We don't know what's behind people's motives. We don't know what they're dealing with in their own household. We don't know the load that they've been called to carry. So our judgments are skewed. Who am I to say who we should like and who we should dislike? One of the things I hate most about life is that some of the most likable people I know are also some of the most wicked people. I mean, they've got a great sense of humor. They're easygoing. I like having a conversation with them, but I find out they're very immoral. They've got a filthy mouth. There's other things about their life. You think, yay. But you like them because of some X factor there. And when we are judging the difference between right and wrong, a lot of times the things we like or deem likable begin to skew our judgment even more. We were against that sin until we met Ralph. I'm hoping there's no Ralph here this morning. That's why I'm using the name Ralph. Till we met Ralph, and then all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. Well, I didn't, that sin was a terrible sin, but you know, let's like Ralph for a little while. Ralph's a good guy. I really love Ralph, and he does it, and maybe it's not so bad. Because, see, he's involved in that, and you know, maybe it's not so bad. And my judgments begin to change. See, I'm changing away from the Word of God and to my own judgment. These are the things I like. These are the people I like. These are the things they do, so they must be okay. And we tend to give people we like a pass on bad behavior. That's pretty much how the opinion of America is shifting away from the evil of immorality to acceptance. I was against it, but then my daughter started, or my son got involved, or a couple I really love, and now I'm rethinking. Maybe it's not so bad because I like them even though they are. And we tend to give people we like a pass on bad behavior. And then our liking of them encourages others to continue in their sin, filthy mouth, immoral lifestyle, so on and so forth. I think we have an excellent example before us today. There are a lot of conservatives who are very pleased with our new president because of a lot of initiatives match up with the things they feel ought to be done. But he does a lot of it with a filthy mouth. Now, I'm for our president. I pray for him every day, you know, and I love a lot of the initiatives that he has enacted. But does that give him a pass to have a filthy mouth? Should it? Do you see how that can change the church? How that can change conservative people? Well, we like him, so we give him a pass. And therefore, when our teenager comes home with a filthy mouth, and they say, well, I'm just talking like the president. Where are we at in all this? You see? And if somebody from the other party used a mouth like that on television, wouldn't we be upset? Because we like somebody. Because we agree with some of the agenda. Either there's a right and a wrong or there isn't. Either there's a standard or there isn't. But what is the standard? Is the standard my political views? Is the standard what I like and who I like? Or is the standard the Word of God? Let no filthy word come out of your mouth, but only what is uplifting and building up of your brothers and your sisters. Is that what the Word of God says? So who and what will do the judging? Conversely, we may discourage somebody who is a righteous person, but we just don't like them. They're squeaky clean, but they have no sense of humor at all. They speak in a monotone all day long, and boy, they just kind of, oh, I can't stand that guy. I see him coming down the hallway. I head off another direction. A wonderful person, but we just don't meet up. They've got a strange hobby. I can't believe. And worst of all, they don't like my hobby. You know, we get these things, and so I don't like them. And again, I am the judge over who deserves love and who doesn't. Who are we supposed to love? Everybody. We're supposed to love those that despise us and misuse us and curse us. But it has to be level ground. And it has to be built on righteousness. And I have to be able to tell my friends and the people I love what God says, as well as those that I feel need correction. So in these ways, we end up approving behaviors God disapproves, and we begin to disapprove of people God loves. And we have to be so careful. I think this is one of the sins that America has become very comfortable with and the church has become very comfortable with. People we like are going to heaven and people we don't like are going to hell. That is not the basis at all. Many of the prophets had very few friends. They were not socially popular. They were slandered and persecuted by the people who said they were righteous and holy. So let me ask you, do you want God to find you sitting in his judgment seat misusing his authority? Do you want God to see you at the controls? Hey, pal, what are you doing there? My grandson likes to help me after the service is over, and one of the things I need to do is shut down my computer. He loves to get here first and just punch every key that he can. That's us when we're misusing the authority. You know, God gave us great authority and great power in the church. He said, I've given you the ministry of reconciliation. Who you forgive will be forgiven. Who you do not forgive will not be forgiven. And we're taking God's stuff and we're just messing with it as we please, as entertains us. And there will be an accounting for all of this. We tend to misjudge. We hurt people more innocent than ourselves. How do you suppose the Lord feels about that? The Bible clearly tells us that the broken, the humble, the needy, the poor are on God's list of favorites. How often have we sported with somebody's weaknesses or faults when our heart instead should have been bleeding for them? Please understand that there are no perfect ones among us. And by that I mean we're all mentally challenged. They may have a diagnosis for yours. They may not have come up with a term for mine yet, but it exists. We're all mentally challenged. We all have our difficulties. I don't know about you, but I hate living with me so often. I pick something up and I say, okay, I have to remember this today, so I'll just leave it in my hand. I'm going to leave it in my hand. It's hard to do something, but I got to take this with me today, so I'm not going to forget it. I got it. Okay, good. The one thing, that's the thing I can't forget. Oh, yeah, I have to put my shoes on. Got my shoes on. What did I do with that? It was in my hand here a minute ago. Anybody live with a person like that? You live in my neighborhood? But when another person in our household does something like that, oh, we can get so mad at them. I told you to bring that along, didn't I? And we roar and so on and so forth. Boy, being human is a tough, tough thing. My son sent this quote to me even as I was writing this sermon. It's from Beth Moore. We keep building sky-high walls for all our Humpty Dumpties to sit on. Then we blame them when they fall. Let good men serve at ground level. Or on level ground. Isn't that a good quote? And when we're trying to get up a little higher than somebody else, we become our own Humpty Dumpty and get in trouble. Well, when we put all our eggs in somebody else's basket, oh, President Trump is going to get us straightened out and he's going to make everything right and it's all good now. Get him up there just a little bit higher. Watch out. Let good men serve, let good people, let good women serve at level ground. And when you see yourself as higher than somebody else, friend, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. We are still made of the same dust. As a pastor, I try never to use positional authority on anybody. Well, I'm the pastor, and I said, so what? This is a little awkward saying this from a platform looking down on you. But we're all on level ground. And if somebody is down a little bit, we need to lift them up. Somebody's a little higher, God will take care of that. That's not my job. That's not my job. I have enough trouble with this guy right here. Let alone calling somebody else to account. Serve on level ground. And I shouldn't expect more out of people than I do. We shouldn't expect more out of others than we do ourselves. You have faults, you forget, you make mistakes, they will too. If you happen to be a foreman, if you happen to be a teacher, if you happen to be in charge of somebody else, be very careful with your rebukes. In and of ourselves, we're all human. When a fellow human falls, we need first responders, not executioners. So often we pile on. All for people that love one another. And Paul said, if you should find a fault in a brother, you who are spiritual, go restore such a one. But be careful that you yourselves don't fall into sin. And rather than lighting up the gossip chain, we ought to hit our knees. We ought to call them ourselves. We ought to extend a hand of love and a friendship. Watch over one another for good. Let's be gentle in our approach to those who have fallen. Let's be gentle in our approach to those who need correction. Let us guard against using the faults of others to make ourselves look better. Rather, when my brother or sister is bleeding, may I bleed along with them. So it's not a warning against calling a wolf or a goat. This is a warning to keep our hands and our comments off of God's sheep. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. So here's your exercise for this week. Practice saying nice things about others. And if you're here with somebody else, maybe you can help them. What did the preacher say on Sunday? We're supposed to practice saying nice things about other people. Some of you may be very quiet this week, but what you do say, say nice things about other people. Talk them up. When you're tempted to chop them down, when you're thinking about somebody and they're making you mad, think about somebody else if you have to. But practice saying nice things. Understand, you have a weapon in your mouth. Your tongue is a very powerful weapon. You have to be very, it ought to be licensed. Some of us shouldn't be allowed to have a tongue. But God's given every one of us one. You are responsible for what it does. Be very careful, especially when you're hurt. As soon as you're hurt, you want to find somebody, you want to tell somebody else, do you know what they did to me? Who should we talk that over with first? God. Get with him. Talk it over with him. Let him take the poison out of it. If you still have something to say to somebody else, great. But talk to God first. And then get it anointed, get it covered, and then do the right thing with what you have in heart and have in mind. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to get ready to baptize a couple of people. So I hope you stick around for our water baptism. But we're going to sing a chorus this morning, Refiner's Fire. It's just an excellent song for this particular sermon. My heart's one desire is to be holy.